Life, our inheritance, you're our everything. Lord, we thank you for loving us, caring for us, filling us with your Spirit. Father, we thank you for providing abundantly for us. And we thank you for using us, Father. Lord, we bless Pastor Bob Nichols as he's preparing, Lord, to minister to hundreds of ministers. We ask you, Father, we agree together and ask you to anoint him with fresh oil. Give him utterance in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you today for your presence here in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. It's awesome to be here, be home at Calvary Cathedral. It's a blessing. Amen. Man, what great worship we've had today. We could just leave now and say we've had church. But the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about something that's really in my heart today for the body of Christ. And I want to talk to you about how to develop healthy relationships. Okay, how to develop healthy relationships. There's a lot of people today that have toxic relationships. They don't know how to have good relationships. And I don't care where you go. If you're in business, you've got to learn how to have healthy relationships. If you're in a marriage, how many of you married? Okay, you need to have healthy relationships. How many of you are single? How many of you don't want to stay that way? Then you need to know how to have a healthy relationship. Okay, all the singles, let me help you out. Where are you at again? All the singles. Okay. Do you want to not stay that way? You want to find a good mate, okay? How many of you would like to find the right mate? Okay, can I help you? Would you like me to help you? I'm going to anyway. Okay, take your list. Your list. And tear it up. Burn it. Throw it away. Jesus himself couldn't meet all the standards on your list. Throw it away. Burn it. Throw it away. Okay. Listen, you need to trust God. Let me help you. Real simple. Let me get your list from here to here. All right? You want somebody who loves Jesus more than you. They've got to love Jesus more than you. I said they've got to love Jesus more than you. Why? Because then if you don't know what to do with them, you can say, Jesus, that's your son or daughter. Speak to them. Right? Okay, then, I mean, they need to be godly, certainly. I mean, you want somebody that's got godly character. And it's good if they have a job. It's good if they got a job. And it's good that they haven't had 14 jobs in the last 2 years. Okay, that'll help. And then are you attracted to them? Hallelujah. Here's my beautiful bride, Janice. Won't you stand up, honey? Amen. Now, I'm not old, okay? But knowing that I'm married to her sure makes me feel young. No, but I mean, I'm still attracted to her. When my children left home, it was the greatest day of our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Plus, it was the biggest raise we ever got. No, throw your list away and trust God. David, can he bring the right person in your life? Even for the Lonely Heart Club that he belonged to. Yeah, praise God. You married up, man. Thank you, Jesus. No, can you trust God? He will bring someone in your life. Okay, you just want someone that loves Jesus more than you. They have godly character. They have a job and you're attracted to them. I've had someone tell me before, we weren't even attracted to one another. I'm thinking, that's dumb. That's dumb on steroids. What do you mean you weren't attracted to him? Thank you, Jesus. Spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Okay. So we're going to talk about how to develop healthy relationships. I've already started off pretty good. Or the Holy Spirit has. All right, I'll tell you funny. Is that okay? This is called oops. Several days ago, I left a meeting at our church. I desperately gave myself a personal TSA pat-down. I was looking for my keys. They were not in my pockets. A quick search in the meeting room revealed nothing. Suddenly, I realized I must have left them in the car. Frantically, I headed for the parking lot. My wife, Diane, has scolded me many times for leaving the keys in the ignition. My theory is the ignition is the best place not to lose them. Her theory is the car will be stolen. As I burst through the doors of the church, I came to a terrifying conclusion. Her theory was right. The parking lot was empty. I immediately called the police. I gave them my location, confessed that I'd left my keys in the car, and that it had been stolen. Then I made the most difficult call of all. "Honey," I stammered. I always call her honey in times like these. I left my keys in the car and it's been stolen. There was a period of silence on the other end of the line. I thought the call had been dropped. Then I heard Diane's voice. "Ken," she barked, "I dropped you off." Now it was my time to be silent. Embarrassed, I said, "Well, come and get me." Diane retorted, "Well, I will as soon as I can convince this policeman I haven't stolen your car." Praise God. Okay, how many of you want to develop healthy relationships? I can tell you, this is one of the most deficient parts of the church and the body of Christ. That people want to learn how to be healed. They want to learn how to prosper. They want to learn all these other things, how to flow in the gifts and the supernatural and all this stuff. But man, they're so weird in their relationships. They don't have a clue. People don't have a clue. And I know it's not anybody here. It's just those you're going to get this CD and hand it to someone else, right? No, but man, people are so messed up. I mean, my wife and I have pastored for 27 years, and 24 of those in one place. And we've counseled literally thousands of people. You know, I know. I mean, we're sitting there listening to people's stories, and I'm thinking this. I don't say it. I'm thinking this. And you're one messed up puppy. I mean, I don't know if Jesus could help you if he walked in here. The tangled webs that people weave. And a lot of it is because they don't have healthy relationships. They're toxic. And then their drama follows them everywhere they go. Look, if you have bad relationships everywhere you go, you might want to wake up and smell the coffee. It's not everybody else. Are you hearing me? And so I want to talk to you about how to develop healthy relationships. I'm going to give you some points, and we'll look at some scripture. Number one thing in developing healthy relationships, each of us must admit our need for relationships. We must admit our need for relationships. Say, "I must admit my need for relationships." Genesis 2:18, God was talking to Adam, and he said, it's not good that man should be alone. Is that what he said? It's not good for the man to be alone. Well, wait a minute. He wasn't alone. He had God. Did he have a relationship with God? He had a relationship with God. He wasn't alone. What does that tell us? Yeah, we need relationship with God on a vertical plane, but we also need horizontal relationships. We have need of relationship. Do you agree? God doesn't call any of us to be lone rangers in life. You know, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto and Silver. Elijah said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, and I alone, in 1 Kings 19:10, I alone am left. Yet God said in 1 Kings 19:18, I've reserved 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah had this alone syndrome, and God didn't call us to be alone. He called us to be together. He called us to have company. Acts 4:23, and being let go, they went to their own company. So you and I were created for fellowship and community. That's why we need local church. We get fed the Word of God, but also we connect on a horizontal level. You can't just sit at home and watch, you know, TV, and even if it's Christian television. You can get messed up watching Christian television sometimes. You come to church and where you can learn these things and how to apply them in a balanced way. So many people are unbalanced. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, look there with me. Ecclesiastes 4, and we're going to look at several verses, but verse 9 says, two are better than what? Two are better than one. Two are better than one because they have a good reward. Everybody say two are better than one. Is that true? Because they have a good reward for their labor. Because they have a good reward for their labor. There's greater potential for increase and reward for your labor when you're in team. When you're working together. I love what Pastor Bob Nichols says, and I learned this many years ago. He said, wise is the man that understands the combinations at work. And you understand that in team. None of us is Lone Ranger. We need to understand we need one another. And there are combinations and relationship that God puts together that makes your gifts better, that complements you. Yes. Would you agree? Thank God. Janice compliments me, and I compliment her. And then verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. So encouragement, strength, and support come from your relationships. If you fall, how many of you have ever fallen? How many of you ever messed up? And you've got relationships that can help you there. But the second part of that verse, but woe to him, in verse 10, woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. So restoration is very difficult outside a relationship. God did not intend that we stand alone in isolation. Yes? And thank God, man. I mean, we've been in some tough places before, and thank God for pastors, and thank God for fathers and people in relationship that'll just pray for you in a time of need. I remember Janice and I were going through a real difficult challenge. We just got a brand new car, and we're coming back from our favorite restaurant, and we're driving, just got up on 287, left 35, and got up 287 to go to Decatur, and we noticed the clouds were kind of ominous, and we're trying to get home before it looked like it was a storm, and all of a sudden, I mean, the wind is blowing this way, and baseball-size hail is coming this way. So there's some circulation going on, and this is on the side where Janice was, and we were just, Jesus, you know, help us. And finally we got into under an overpass, and just as we got under the overpass, Pastor Bob calls. He said, Greg, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm in my Frady hole right now. But he had been praying for us. Praise God. We need one another. Well, had we not been in a relationship, he wouldn't have known to even pray. But look, those baseball-sized hail, you understand? That smashes windows, and now the metal got smashed. But this is kind of the miracle. None of the glass got smashed. It was amazing. I mean, you could see big old, I mean, they had to redo the whole, it was totaled. They had to redo the whole thing. I mean, it was bad. But someone had been praying. When you fall, when you go through stuff, when you have a relationship, praise God. Man, we need one another. Look at your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you right now. Don't wait till you're weak, overcome by temptation, or going through a struggle to develop covenant relationships. Right now, it's not just about coming here and receiving the word and worship. It's about us connecting with one another. And we need one another. Again, verse 11. Look at verse 11 of Ecclesiastes 4. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? They'll be warm. How can one be warm alone? This has spiritual application as well as physical. Relationships are a primary means of our spiritual embers being stirred up, where our spiritual fire burning, where we don't become lax, we don't become complacent. Man, how can you stay warm if you're alone? Spiritually, how can you stay warm? We need one another. Amen? Now this principle, our need for relationship, that's why Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 is in the Bible where it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together because we need one another. Would you agree? We need local church. Then verse 12 of Ecclesiastes 4, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The context of this portion of well-quoted scripture is relationship. It's relationship. Our relationships provide us with exponential power in overcoming the enemy and facing difficulties in life. Deuteronomy 32:30 says, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Do you see that? When we're connected in relationship, we draw, there's a synergy that gives us more power. Praise God for relationship. I remember we were going through a real difficult challenge. We'd left the church and gone to this ministry to oversee this ministry, and the president of the ministry was supposed to transition that to us, and things improved and increased, and things were going really well, and then he just wasn't ready to let go of the ministry. Plus, we were making some changes in that ministry that would make it better and more accountable and with integrity, and the guy that was in Africa that was overseeing it, he saw that his goose was cooked. That we were going to make some changes to bring accountability there. Anyway, I think he got wind of that. And anyway, we ended up getting fired, terminated for doing a good job. Andrew Womack called me and said, "Oh, Greg," he said, "don't worry about it." He said, "That's just a sign of an insecure leader, jealous of someone doing a better job than them. You just need to take it as a compliment." I said, "Compliment, Andrew, I need a job." But during that time, I had Andrew, I had Paul Milligan, I had Pastor Bob. We were talking to Pastor Bob, and he said, "Oh, Greg, you just need to preach." He said, "Come on, Wednesday." This was on a Tuesday. He said, "Wednesday night, just preach for me." He said, "I preach myself out of a lot of problems." I said, "Could I wait till Sunday?" Sunday night or something. Anyway, so but it just took the breath out of me. But the thing is when you have a relationship, what it did was encourage Janice and I to keep our eyes on the Lord. And now what it did propelled us into the next phase that we have. And I'm the director of Charis Bible College in Colorado. It's awesome. Have over 700 students, and We're traveling all over the world. My books are going all over the world. It's amazing what God has done. through a bad thing. But what I'm saying is, through relationship, guys, that's what kept us strong and helped us to overcome the temptation to be discouraged in a difficult time. You need relationships. You need kingdom relationships. Now let me show you something you might not have ever thought about before. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2. This is really powerful. And I was just reading the Bible one day. How many of you know it's good just to read your Bible? I wasn't reading it to try to get a message or anything. I was just reading the Bible, and I saw this, and I really couldn't believe it at first when I read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord." Okay, who opened the door for Paul? Okay, did the Lord open the door for him? Okay, do you think doors that the Lord opened, that he knew the Lord opened, do you think we ought to walk through them? Okay, but watch this, watch. It was opened to me by the Lord, verse 13, "But I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking leave of them, I departed from Macedonia." What? Paul, you're the great apostle. You can hear from God. A door is open there in Troas from the Lord. The Lord opened the door. I mean, he opened the door. Opened it. But he didn't have his ministry partner. He didn't have somebody to go with him. So he left. He departed to Macedonia. Why? Because he was there alone. Is that in your Bible? I mean, I had to stop. Becky, I had to stop. And no, this can't be true. Paul, what is the deal? You're miss God, man. You had a door. Was it a door opened by the Lord? And he didn't go through it. Why? Because he didn't have anybody to go with him. Now look at this. And so, I mean, I've just stopped there, meditated on a little while. And I'm still shaking my head. How can this be? God opened the door and he didn't go through it. And so I'm reading the same day. I'm reading. And then I looked at, and I read 2 Corinthians 7. So, you know, I'm just reading. Here's chapter 2. I just read five chapters over. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 5 and 6. "For indeed we came to Macedonia." Okay, remember, he had the door open from the Lord to Troas, and he left because Titus wasn't there. He went to where? He went to Macedonia. Now here, he said, "For indeed when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. Nevertheless," I mean, there's no open doors from the Lord there. It's a lot of junk. "Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus." So you got a door open from the Lord in Troas, and here you got all hell breaking loose. You got all kinds of problems. And problems on every side. No mention of a door opened by the Lord, but Paul received strength to stay, and he received comfort from his ministry companion, Titus. Really? I mean, this is bizarre. And yet it's true. God doesn't call us one by one. He doesn't call us to do anything on our own. He doesn't call us to accomplish any purpose by ourselves. Can you see this? That's powerful, guys. I don't know what that does for you, but it's like, when I read this, and I got that, nobody taught me that. I just read the Bible and saw a door opened by the Lord, and Paul didn't go through because he was alone. And then now all hell breaks loose in Macedonia, and he's comforted, and he stays there because he's got his ministry partner. What does that tell us? We need relationship, guys. And if I don't have a relationship where God calls me, I'm questioning whether God called me. And I know one thing for sure. I know God doesn't call us alone. When he sent the disciples out, he sent them out two by two. He didn't send them out one by one. In Luke chapter 9, is that true? He sent them out in Luke chapter 10 Matthew chapter 10. The most significant things in life come to us through relationships. Luke 6:38. Given, it'll be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God from heaven give into your bosom. Is that what it says? No, shall man. Everybody say man. Man. See, God gives to us through man. We need relationship. Now, I get it, guys. Okay, look up here for a second. I understand men have disappointed you. I understand you may have gone through some abuse by men. I understand you may have been rejected by some men. And I'm not talking about men in a gender sense. It could be men or women. I understand people in authority could do you wrong. I get that things don't go right. But let me tell you something. The remedy to people doing you wrong, is not you hibernating in a little hole or making vows, I'll never get close to anybody again. I'll never trust anybody again. I'll never get married again. I'll never do this again. Listen, what you're doing, yeah, the devil uses people, but so does God. And there are relationships that we will forsake part of the supply of God's grace if we make these vows to try to protect ourselves. The only way to protect yourself from a bad relationship is trust in God. He knows the hearts of men. But you're not going to protect yourself. Look, I'm sorry for that rejection, that wound, that hurt. Again, Janice and I've counseled, you know, I don't know how many people, and our heart breaks with the stuff that people go through. But then it also breaks because people shut off and cut off having any close relationships with anyone because of somebody that's done them wrong. Look, that was a Christian that fired me. And I left a 24-year successful ministry to go into this new one. And then I'm 39 plus. Now I'm in my late 50s when this happened. And it's like, you know, it's not like, you know, you got all these wonderful doors open and when you're in your late 50s, and what do? And well, you trust God, that's what you do. And you know, we're tempted to sue, you know? And man, wouldn't that be wonderful? Pastor sues ministry, you know, just great. No, man, we trust God. What do you do when things don't go right in a relationship? You look to God. You trust God. But you don't say, I'll never get in a relationship with again. I'll never give my heart to anybody again. I'll never. Listen, guys, stop it. Stop that. I know that hurts. You know, love is a risky business. Ministry is a risky business. But we're not going to enter into the next realm of God's grace and provision and blessing and the door that he has open for us if we're exempting ourselves or cutting ourselves off from relationship. Look, you've got to forgive. Okay. If I could just grab you up in my arms and tell you, I'm sorry. God hurts where you hurt. But if you would just forgive. Listen, and trust. Do you know why you're having trouble forgiving? You know why you're having trouble trusting? Would you like to know? Come back next week and I'll tell you. No, I'll tell you now. Because you're valuing your pain and your loss greater than the cross. You can't forgive when you value your own pain and your loss and what you went through greater than the cross. Let me ask you something, guys. Have they hung you up on a cross as an innocent human being yet? Okay. What Jesus did for you is greater than what anybody has done to you. Let me say it again. What Jesus has done for you is greater than what anyone has done to you. And our problem, the reason why we don't connect in the right relationships is because we've got these judgments against the old ones, and all you're doing is you're just reliving the past. And what you've got to do is shut off the past by forgiving and letting them go and committing the vengeance and the justice to God, and in declaring, God, I value what you did for me more than what they've done to me. Now, I'm helping somebody here today. You can't move into the next season of your life until you let go of the hurt and the pain from the past. Because how you leave a place is exactly how you enter the next. And if you leave it with hurts and wounds, and then you've started your own Victims Anonymous Club, you hand out gold membership cards to anybody who will help you stay a victim. And then all the mercy showers, where's all my mercy showers? Where are you at? No, come on, be honest. Where's my mercy? All the mercy showers, where are you at? Okay, and then what they do is they exploit your mercy, but you got to add truth with mercy. You cannot use your mercy. If mercy starts crossing the line, it doesn't use truth, and you start enabling people to stay a victim. Instead of the victor that they really are, your mercy changes into human compassion, and it's not mercy at all. Listen, guys, we've got to be truthful with people. We've got to help people. And when they're stuck like Chuck and they're offended, I don't have time to get into it, but you look in Matthew 24, in the end times men would become offended. Matthew 24, verse 10 and on, it says, then when you become offended, see, there's a difference from an offense coming, and Jesus said offenses are going to come. True? They're going to come. You can't keep them from coming. It's impossible. Then no offenses will come. Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's talking to you now. Okay, offenses are going to come to all of us. And you know where they're going to come? From people that you're not going to expect it coming from. Okay? But when they come, it says they betray many, hate many. There's false prophets rise, lawlessness, deception, lawlessness, and cold love. Everybody say, when you become offended, see, there's a difference between an offense coming and you becoming offended. You become offended is a decision you made. It's not an event that happens to you. Okay? And so what happens is in relationships, you get disappointed. You know, somebody doesn't invite you to their party. They forgot you. They didn't invite me to their party. Wayne, you didn't invite me to your party. Well, Wayne can invite who he wants to his party. You know what? I've got a relationship with Wayne and Debbie, and I give them mercy to forget me on their invitation list, and I'll still be friends with them. Amen? But you know what? We've got all these expectations on people, so when offense comes, it's coming. Everybody say they're coming. When it comes, you've got to learn to process your offenses. Otherwise, you become offended, and then you enter into tolerating betrayal, hatred, deception, lawlessness, and cold love. It's all there in Matthew 24. All right, but right in the middle of that, it says many false prophets rise. Do you know where false prophets come from? The place of becoming offended. False prophets rise from the place of when offenses come, they become offended. And they get stuck like Chuck. And so here's the deal. Whenever an offense comes, and then you hold on to that offense, instead of forgiving that person and letting them go, you've just enrolled in the school of false prophets. Selah. And you wonder why we have toxic relationships, because we got unforgiveness. And why do we have unforgiveness? Because we haven't processed our offenses, and we haven't let people go. We haven't let that stuff out of our heart, and we're valuing our pain and loss greater than the cross. That's good stuff. Hallelujah. So we need relationships. Big doors swing on little hinges. And there are key relationships in your life that will open doors for you, doors of favor. That's what God has done with Janice and I. We would not be where we are today had it not been for a relationship with our pastor, Bob and Joy Nichols, Calvary Cathedral International, our relationship with Andrew Womack, Paul Milligan, other key relationships in our life. And when God called us, David, when God called us to Decatur, Texas, I thought He was sentencing us to anonymity. You ever been to Decatur? You just blink and you're through it. I mean, it's a little bigger now, but I mean, we moved from Houston, Texas to Decatur, Texas, 5,000 people. The whole town rolled up at 6 o'clock. But God sent us there. And that's where we met Andrew Womack. That's where we met Paul Milligan. That's where we met Bob Nichols from Decatur, Texas. Are you hearing me? And God will connect you, guys, and He's doing that right now if you'll allow Him to, and if you'll release forgiveness in the past and trust the Lord that He can bring right relationships in your life. But that can't happen if you stay stuck like Chuck in a fence. And you make vows to try to protect yourself. And you value your loss and your pain greater than the cross. Now I'm trying to help somebody here today. There is a supply of God's grace for the next season in your life that you can enter into today if you'll let go of the season of the past. And you'll trust and forgive everybody of everything that they've done to you, and you trust God, and you release the vows that you've made that I'll never do this again, or I'll never do that again, or I'll never marry again, or I'll never pastor again, I'll never do this again. Look, I've got some other really good points that I want to share with you, but it's like I'm staying right here because the Holy Spirit's saying somebody needs to get free today. Okay, so who am I talking to? Who's God speaking to? Just lift your hand. I want to agree with you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I just agree that every person here is being set free. Every person's got their hand up is being set free from offense, from pain, and they're choosing to value the cross greater than their loss. Just say that. Father, I choose to forgive everyone that's hurt me. Everyone that's rejected me. Everyone that's disappointed me. And I choose to value the cross greater than my loss. I choose to forgive that person and release them in Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray for a real revival of repentance, a real revival of forgiveness. And then, Father, I pray they're going to let that go and they're going to move into the new season that you have for them in Jesus' name. Now listen, here's what happens many times. The reason why we go back and forth in and out of forgiveness and unforgiveness is because how many of you, if you prayed that prayer, how many of you really did forgive that person? Okay? About half of your hands lifted up. Houston, we have a problem here. Didn't take you very long to enter back into unforgiveness, did it? Here's what happens. We really do forgive many times. But what happens is the thought of what they did comes back. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay. And then you start, then in your soul, all those memories start rising up, and then feelings, nothing more than feelings, start rising up. And because you feel angry toward them, you agree that you've not forgiven them. But your feelings are going to do this. You don't go by your feelings. When the feeling comes back and the memory comes back, just say, nope, let me remind you, I forgave them. And I'm valuing the cross greater than my loss, greater than what they did. What Jesus did at the cross forgave them too. Amen? Hallelujah. That's awesome. Okay, number two. And I do have the airport in sight. We're not landing yet. Number two. Let me get to it. This is good stuff, isn't it? Number two, relationships cannot be forced. Relationships cannot be forced. You remember the story in Genesis 24. Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac. Remember that? And I'm not gonna take the time to look at that. But well, let's look at Genesis 24:12. We'll just look at a couple of verses, and I'm not gonna read the whole story. But Genesis 24, and let's look at verse 12. You can't force relationships. Then he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. And let me see what verse I want. There was another verse. Oh yeah, verse 8. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. And so he was just saying, look, you know, offer someone from my family's house to come and be the wife, but don't force her. She's got to be willing. So relationships can't be forced. And then when he offered Rebekah, Rebekah came, remember? In verse 40, let's look at verse 40. And he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk, I said, I will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you'll take a wife for my son. Verse 39, I'm sorry. And I said to my master, perhaps a woman will not follow me. And then he said, the Lord will prosper you. But verse 41, you shall be clear from this oath when you arrive. If they will not give her to you, then you'll be released from my oath. So the gist of the whole story is Abraham sent his servant to get Isaac a wife, but he said, well, what happens if she's not willing? And he said, well, then you're released to that oath. Only don't take my son. Back there, or get a wife from some other place. And so the relationships can't be forced. And I see a lot of people trying to push and force relationships. I see them try to manipulate and weasel their way in to get with a man or woman of God. And they try to get, you know, they try. How many of you ever watched I Love Lucy? Anybody watched I Love? How many of you watched I Love Lucy? Okay, then you know what I'm talking about. Every episode was about Lucy manipulating her way to try to get with these famous people that Ricky was at her club, and you know how she messed everything up, trying to manipulate it, trying to force it, trying to push it. Relationships cannot be forced. You trust God. If you offer, you know, and you ask, let's say you, one of you single guys, you ask somebody and they to go out with you, and they say no. You know, you could press it for a little bit, but after a while, you're going to have to trust God. If you like them, they need to like you back. There's got to be a reciprocal response. And so many times in the body of Christ, I see this happening. It's just people are pushing their way. They're bullying their way in. They're manipulating their way. And guys, however you get into a relationship is how you're going to have to keep it. It doesn't work by manipulation. It doesn't work by, you know, it's really just witchcraft. People praying. We've had people do this. We found out through the grapevine. People are praying that Janice will go home to be with the Lord early so they can, because they're single and they want to hook up with me. I got news for you. That's a boomerang prayer. Because she's protected by me. And besides that, if she gets wind of it, you might go home to be with Jesus early. No, man, people are praying goofy prayers, manipulation prayers, forcing things. That is not the way the kingdom works. Are you hearing me? God doesn't need your help. He just needs your cooperation. Yeah? Look, if there's no connection there, I mean, I'm thinking about one minister right now. I've tried to connect with him, and it's like I tried so many different times, tried to connect with. There was just no connection. So, you know, after a while, I just leave it alone. God, if you want us to, you know, you're probably protecting me, Father, from something I don't need to be connected with. And so we need to trust God with this, guys. I'm talking about how to have healthy relationships. I see people establish relationships in such unhealthy ways. And they've watched reruns of I Love Lucy, and they go out and they manipulate all the time. Force and push and make their way. No, you know the best way to come into godly relationships is serve your way. You serve your way into relationship. You serve your way. And you do it without expectation. That's what Joshua did with Moses. That's what Elisha did with Elijah. That's what you see in all these godly relationships. It's so you serve your way. Amen? You want godly relationships, you serve. And you'd be a blessing. Now there's a lot more I could share there, but let me share this scripture, James 3:17, and I'm going to, and we're about to land, okay? James 3:17 says, the wisdom of God is peaceable. The wisdom of God, I think that's what it says. The wisdom of God from above is first pure, then peaceable. Everybody say peaceable. Look, when the Lord connects you with someone in relationship, it's peaceful. It's peaceful. It's not full of strife and pressure and manipulation. And look, guys, if you're feeling pressure, okay, all you sweet girls out there, where you at? Okay, all right. I know, but all you sweet single girls, where you at? Okay, all right. If you're feeling pressure to go too fast in the relationship, that's not God. Same thing, guys. It's, you know, you get pressure from gals because they feel like they're old maids at 25. And they want, you know, don't respond to pressure. Pressure is not God. I can tell you it's not God Because God is love, and love is what? Patient. And patient right now you're not. You're just in heat. That's okay. It's okay, but you just don't want heat to lead you. Amen? Amen? No, you don't want pressure to lead you. Look, guys, there's only one thing worse than being lonely, and that's being together and miserable. So you want to take time, make patience your friend. Don't pressure that relationship. And if that guy's pressuring you into giving something you're not supposed to give before marriage, tell him to eat a brick. No, it's not God, because of that pressure. See, the wisdom from God in relationships are to be peaceable. Peaceable, not pushy, not pressured, not forced. Amen? We can trust God. And thirdly, and we've landed, but I want to get this one down, okay? This will help you a lot. Thirdly, there are different levels of relationship. There are different levels. Everybody say there are different levels. We need relationship. Number one, we don't need to force relationship. Number two, but we have to understand there are different levels of relationship. Jesus had the multitudes, the 70, the 12, the 3, and the 1. Okay? And many times what we're trying to do is make all the multitudes out there and squeeze them into the one. You're never going to have more than probably 3 or 4 or 5 close intimate relationships. You're not. So stop trying to make every relationship the same. It's not the same. And give people space to breathe, and stop trying to push everybody and make everybody be the kind of in this kind of relationship that is intimate and close. And I told my children, listen, when you're dating, when you're courting, it's a discovery process. And you give people little tidbits of intimate things about your life, and you find out what they do with it. Yeah? You don't tell them all the gory details about your life up front. They can't handle it. No. Riley wouldn't have been here if David would have told all that stuff. No, she would have. I'm just teasing. No, you give them tidbits. You give them a little bit. Find out what they do with it. Find out if they gossip. Find out if they talk about you. Find out if they can be trusted. Don't tell them everything. Don't tell them everything. Listen to me. Listen, listen, listen. Don't tell them everything on the first date. Chill out. Trust God. Little bite-sized pieces. Because every relationship's not on the same level. And you've got to take time to discover where that relationship is supposed to be. Amen? And then again, you don't push it. You don't force it. You let things develop, and you find out after a period of time, yeah, this is somebody I'd like to spend more time with. This is somebody I can trust. This is somebody I can let my hair down around. Of course, I can't do that much anymore, but I can tell them. I can have fun with them. I can relax with them. I can, joke with them. I can, and also I can be corrected by them from time to time. Right? I trust them. See, I can't do that with everybody. Are you hearing me? And we need relationships where we need relationships, but we need to understand what level that relationship is, and don't attribute to everybody that they're in the inner circle. This is good stuff. It works for me. Be discerning, guys. Be discerning about that. Are you hearing me? Jesus in John 2:24 says he didn't commit himself to all men. He gave his life for all men, But he didn't. He committed himself and the truths that he had to 12 and then 70, but not to the multitudes. And then you know what? The kingdom of God isn't fair. What do you mean, Greg? Well, it's not fair. Because Jesus, when he went up on the Mount Transfiguration, and when he went into Jairus' daughter, you know, he only had Peter, James, and John with him. That's not fair. Where's the other nine? See, the kingdom of God is not fair. But look, if you trust God, God will get you into the place that you're supposed to be as long as you're not forcing your way there. What did James... Look, James and John tried to force themselves. Remember, they sent their mama? Oh, we just would like to ask you a question, Jesus. Well, what's that? Well, we just like to sit on your right hand and your left throughout eternity. No big deal. He said, well, are you able to drink the cup that I'm drinking and be baptized? Oh, yeah, we're able to do that. No problem. And then it says about the other disciples, they were just rejoicing over that. What did it say? They were greatly displeased. Greatly displeased. Why? They were greatly displeased because here's two disciples who God did ordain be great in the kingdom, but they were pushing their way through selfish ambition, pushing their way into the place instead of trusting God and serving their way. Matthew 5:6, don't give what's holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, I'm not gonna take a long time to elaborate on this, but there are three types, and we have landed and we're pulling up to the terminal, okay? I'm just about to, but don't disembark yet. There are three types of relationship each of us need to stay healthy. Three types of relationships. You need, number one, you need discipling relationships, people you're pouring into. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things that you've heard from me, commit to faithful men who shall be able. So you're pouring into others. Everybody say, discipling relationships. Then you need peer relationships. Okay? You need a mutual relationship of accountability, encouragement and growth. You need people that you're pouring into. But look, you've got to be discerning. The people that you're pouring into who are needy, they can't handle all the gory details of your past. You're not supposed to be sharing intimate things with those you're pouring into. They can't handle your struggles. Okay? Your peers can. And you need to look, you've got people you're pouring into, then you've got peer relationships, then you need to have mentoring relationships or fathering relationships. People who are pouring into you. Okay, you need people you're pouring into, you need people you're accountable with, and then you need people you're accountable to. Yes?
Yes.
Who are feeding you.
Yes.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you have those? And let me make a comment. If the only relationships you have in your life are those who are the needy, broken heart club, okay, wounded people, and you're pouring in, and when you finish, I can tell you how you know, because when you finish getting with those folks, you feel drained. It's like, whew, man, I'm glad that's done. You know who I'm talking about. You're pouring in, and you think you're helping them. Sometimes it's just, you really feel good about yourself, because somebody will listen to you. But you've got to give them assignments. I said, you've got to give them assignments. You've got to give them assignments. Listen to the Lord and give them something to do. Then if you meet with them again, if they don't do it, then don't give them your time like you have been. But look, if the only kind of relationships are those downline relationships like that, you're unhealthy. And you're insecure. Because you're only gathering people around you that need you, or you think they need you. Where are the relationships that you're submitting yourself to voluntarily to pour into your life? Where are the peer relationships who will be honest with you? Are you hearing me? We need relationships. Do you agree? We need relationships. I'm going to finish. I'll finish this. I've got lots more on this. I'm going to finish this tonight. Ezekiel 37. I'm not going to turn there. We'll read it tonight. Ezekiel 37 is talking about the valley of dry bones. There are people today that are here in the valley of dry bones. And he said, speak, prophesy, man of God, to the dry bones. You know why the dry bones are dry? They're disconnected. They've been dislodged through offense, through problems. They've been disconnected from the body of Christ. And they're a valley of dry bones. God desires the dry bones to come alive again. The only way they come alive again is to come together again. Are you hearing me? Would you go ahead and come? If you're here today and you feel dry, you feel disconnected, there's a supply of God's grace. I'm prophesying to you, there's a supply of God's grace on the other side of you just saying, Lord, I'm going to value the cross greater than my loss. On the other side of your forgiveness, on the other side of your trust, and just say, Lord, I don't want to stay dry anymore. I'm going to let you prophesy to me, and I'm going to let you connect me. God puts members in the body where it seems good to Him. And there's some here today, and you're in the valley of dry bones. Now, you know, it could be that you've just gone through a great loss. It could be a divorce that you've gone through. It could be a death. It could be, you know, someone broke up with you, or you just went through a lot of pain. And I'm not condemning you for that, but I'm just saying, guys, the answer and the remedy is for you to let God connect you again in relationship. The remedy is for you to let the Lord breathe life into you again. For you to trust Him again. Amen. And He's here today to just draw you back into the fold. Draw you back into relationship. Recognize, I need relationships. I'm not going to force them. But Father, I'm going to let you connect me where I need to be connected. I'm going to let you heal my broken heart. Amen? I'm not going to stay a victim. I'm going to become a victor. If God's speaking to you about that, I want to pray for you. But I just want you to stand right where you are. Just stand up right where you are. I'm not going to call you down. I just want you to stand right where you are. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Worship you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Worship you, Lord. Praise God. Let's just sing that while we're standing. But I just want you to let God put your one hand on your heart and let God just ask God, God, heal my heart. Heal my heart.
A fountain.
let's let people that are standing right now, let's stand around them and reach out and touch them. Can we do that? These are our brothers and our sisters that just need the love of God. Let's reach out to them. Lift your hand up if you were standing. I want someone to pray with you. Father, we just pray right now for our brothers and sisters. We pray for healing. We pray for wholeness. We pray, Father, for real forgiveness in their hearts. And Father, we call them out of the season of dry bones into the season of life, of the river of life, Father, that's flooding their soul. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for healing. And for those watching online, I speak healing to you. I speak wholeness to you, real forgiveness to you. Father, help them feel a part of the body. Help them feel connected to the body. And Father, we thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you for the river. It's flowing in us now. Yes. Yes, let's sing it again. The river's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. Where there's been dryness, it's flowing. Really, and I just want to tell you, I just want to give you good news today. You're not beyond the Savior's touch, and that river that they're just singing about, I tell you, if you'll just call out to God, you're going to find restoration, you're going to find hope, you're going to find peace, you're going to find joy. But let me tell you something, guys, it doesn't come staying disconnected. I want to encourage you, take a step. Take a step. Take a step. Okay? Leave that old stuff behind, that old unforgiveness and that pain and that junk. Leave it behind and take a step. And connect with the body here. Connect with, go out soul winning here. Go, just connect somewhere. Come to the ladies' meetings. Be here in the services. Connect with someone. Take the risk. And you watch and see. God is going to free you. He's going to refresh you. He's going to revision you. He's going to refocus you. And He's going to bring you out of the valley of dry bones. Amen. How many of you received that today? Praise God. Father, I just thank you for the power of the gospel and for the power, Father, of your word to change our lives. Lord, to move us out of this old season, move us into a new season of refreshing and blessing and life instead of dryness. Father, we thank you. The river's flowing again. Listen, guys, I didn't get done. There's a lot more I want to share with you. We're going to talk, begin at 6:30 tonight. We're going to share again about how to develop healthy relationships. Was this helpful? Did you learn anything? Be back tonight. That's maybe for some of you, that may be the step you need to take. God bless you guys. We love you. Amen.
As always, we have some offering buckets up here. If you'd like to bless Pastor Greg Moore, we encourage you to come up. Leave a love offering for him. Just a way of saying thank you. Be here tonight. God bless y'all.